there, and welcome to Talkin' Toxic. I am your host, Chelsea Hearn. Thanks for listening. I'm glad you found me. I'm here to give you some insight and information and help you educate on everything toxic, especially your relationships. I do this with informative episodes, digital resources, free and paid, one-on-one mentoring, group mentoring. Have any questions for me? I got answers. You submit your questions to me privately online, and I will answer them on Q&A Tuesdays. If you do not hear them, ask again. You never know, you might hear them next time. How do you submit those questions, you ask? Simple. You just find me over on social media. The main place, there are two main places that have a submit your question here button, is Instagram. You can find my podcast, this podcast, under talkin/toxicpodcast. And there's a link in the bio. It's a link tree. There's a couple things there for you. But to submit questions, you click the submit your question button. You put in your question, you click send, and it will come to me privately. I will read it anonymously on air. Because trust me, there's more than one person asking the same thing you are. Other places to find me. I'm creating a YouTube channel. It's up. There's not a lot there right now, but it will be. So go ahead and go over and subscribe. That would be great. If you haven't downloaded this podcast, you can find me on all platforms. Feel free to download me again. Give me 5 stars. Give me a little rating too, if you like. That would be fantastic. You can follow my personal social media on Instagram. It's Chelsea Lee Hearn. Chelsea Lee Hearn. That's my personal Instagram account. You could try to friend me on Facebook, but Facebook I don't really deal with too much. And my friend list is literally the people that I know personally. But if you are on Facebook, I do have a like page for the podcast, and I also have a private community for this podcast. It's for members only. That might have some questions, or I might go a little more deeper with some personal information in there instead of broadcasting it live on this podcast for everyone in the world to hear. So you can head over to Facebook and like my like page, join my private community for some more information in there. And I also have a website. The website is chelseahearn.com. There is some resources there. I am revamping it soon to add my podcast page to it. But for now, everything that you need is there. There's some digital resources, paid and free. And then there is also a submit your questions here button there as well. So you have questions for me, you can head over to my website or the podcast Instagram page and go ahead and ask away. Tuesdays, I try to drop live Q&A Tuesdays to answer any of those questions or questions that I see in the community groups that I see so many people asking that I have your answer to. With all that being said, let's start talking. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Toxic. I am your host, Chelsea Hearn, and today we're going to talk about two things, gray rocking or the gray rock method and gaslighting. Those are the two things that we're going to talk about today. I've seen a lot of gaslighting posts, requests on more information, and I've seen some people trying to get advice on how to use one of these methods in the wrong circumstance. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But I can't believe I haven't podcast a single episode or recorded an episode the entire month of August. I guess you could just say I take a little summer vacation, I suppose. The time has flown. And I can't believe it. I went to record this today and I went and looked at my hosts and I was like, wow, I have not dropped a single episode in August. And I just preached about how I was going to be more consistent. So I apologize for that. I've had a really bad back problem. So for the past
3 weeks I've been treating it now. This is the third week, and I dealt with it for 2 months. So half the month of August I have spent on medication and trying to just sleep and work on whatever the hell is going on. I didn't injure it, so I don't know what the hell, but I'm good now. Went through some steroids, taking some time to rest my back because I love to work out. As a matter of fact, if you hear me drinking or slurping or it sounds like I'm eating, I'm literally drinking my shake, my Shakeology, why I record this episode. So excuse me if it sounds a little rude with me drinking in your ear like now. But it's frozen and it's hot as hell out. So I'm going to drink that while I do this. So back to the subject of, I want to start off with gray rock. Gray rocking. I've seen a couple people post about, hey, how do I use this effectively on my boyfriend? Or how do I do this on my wife? Let me just start off by saying gray rocking, the gray rock method, is not something you want to use or try to do in an active relationship. This is something you want to use, a method you want to use when you are, when you want nothing to do with this person, but you have to communicate in some way, shape, or form, saying, you know, maybe there's someone at work that's super combative, or that you just can't stand, you don't want to talk to them, or you have a ex and you're co-parenting, and you have to talk to them for certain things, or let's see, a coworker, co-parenting, or just if the person you're gray rocking or trying to like not conversate with very much is like your parent or a sibling or somebody that you just can't cut off in life, such as, you know, a co-parent, an ex that you just can't get rid of. So this is a method you want to use on those people, not as like a revenge tactic to do for the week to your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife. That doesn't work. And if you're resorting to something like that to get a change in your relationship, then I would reevaluate the entire relationship if you have to learn methods to communicate with them like that. But anyhow, so the goal to gray rocking is to get the other person to lose interest in you all on their own, right? So most people that use, or should I say all people that use manipulative behavior are toxic people or abusers or narcissists. So because toxic people or people that are manipulative, they feed off trauma. So this method is literally, so you become the most boring person that they have ever tried to communicate with. And the reason is to get them to lose interest, like I said. So the more you seem boring, the less reactive you are, and the more you undermine their efforts to manipulate you or control you. And over time, they'll stop. So you definitely don't want to use this, like I said, in a current relationship or with a boss. That would be silly to do. Let me take another sip. Okay, sorry about that. So there are a few ways here, you know, a few ways that you can go about gray rocking. A few examples, right? So the first one is to like offer nothing. Okay, a toxic or manipulative person, they thrive on conflict and thrills and chaos. So to make yourself less appealing, you want to seem more uninteresting. You want to seem boring. And if they ask questions you can't avoid answering, you want to keep your face blank. Keep it vague. Most of your replies, if you can, reply with mm-hmm, or uh-huh, or mm-mm, uh-huh, instead of yes or no, except for when you're texting. This is because this person can take the way you say yes or no and try to cause conflict just out of that. So if you're dealing with someone at work, you know, this is more helpful. So if you need to answer a work-related question, you want to try to not put any response or emotion into your response. Like, say you're at work, sit with your back to them. If they ask you a question, just give them here's an example, like, say to a coworker who likes drama, let's say they come up to you and they say, can you believe these new policies, you know, over maybe masks or vaccines or whatever, how do you feel about them? You might want to respond with a shrug, like not even, and just be like, eh, without looking up from your work and making eye contact. You definitely don't want to make eye contact, because when you do that, that's when you can make eye contact and make an emotional connection through the eyes. So you don't want to look at them, keep your back towards them, and sticking to a non-committal response. And even when they persist, you can keep making it seem like you really have nothing else to say. Like, keep it short, less reactive. It's super important to avoid eye contact with the manipulative person. Eye contact helps facilitate an emotional connection. That's what I was trying to say before. So you also want to, like I said, have your back towards them or something. By giving them your attention or not giving them any attention, you'll send the message that you're not going to give them what they need, which is drama, which is a reaction. So directing your attention elsewhere can also help you distract them from different attempts of manipulation. Toxic people can make cruel and negative remarks to get a response out of you, and this can be really, really upsetting. But you have to disconnect your emotions and avoid showing them. So if you don't have a project or paperwork close by to distract yourself with, you can try disengaging by focusing mentally on something more pleasant. Like, you know, like people say, go to your happy place. Like, say your yes or no while you're thinking of your dream vacation or your new puppy at home. Like, you cannot give them emotion, period. Okay, so like, when you're communicating electronically, you know, email, phone, whatever it may be, since doing that allows you to avoid prolonged interactions and eye contact and all that, this is where you can use the word yes, no, I don't know, without further explanation. Because it's they really can't feed off of that. They really can't do anything off of yes, no, I don't know through a text, right? So if you're managing like a co-parenting schedule or just like talking about your kid with your ex that you know, want to cut off, you want to limit the communication at all costs, even at pickups and drop-offs. Only discuss your child, if at all. Let me tell you, I had a stay-at-home restraining order with my ex, right? I lived in his house. I told the story before. I lived in his house. They kicked him out with the restraining order, and he got to come and pick up my daughter. Curbside pickup is what they called it. Where he pulls up, I go outside with my daughter. I give her to him. And at this time, she was really young before school even started for her. And we weren't allowed to talk. We were not, that was in the court order. We were not allowed to talk. He couldn't say boo to me. The only thing I could say is, you know, she needs to eat at 5. She takes her inhaler at 7. You know, and that's it. If I would have said your hair looks like shit, I would have broken the order. Or, you know, if I would have complimented him and told him how great his shirt was, I would have gone to jail. So that helped me really get the concept of, oh, wow, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to drop off my kid to my ex, because not only gray rocking him, but I was court ordered to gray rock. So it really does help, and it really does diffuse any situations possible. So I got used to, like, having no emotion. Got used to, like, being like a blank stare face. I was learning how to be completely disconnected with my feelings and my emotions when I was talking to him, and it's a godsend. Now it works all the time. Let me tell you, I can have a phone call with him, which we have a lot lately, that could be anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour and a half. Because I've learned how to communicate with the narcissist, with the manipulator, by using these types of methods at first. Okay, we're now 8 years out of our relationship, so proof that, you know, from going to restraining orders to an hour and a half long phone conversations, and believe me, it's not because we're friends or anything like that. Believe it or not, the phone conversations that long are entirely about my daughter. We don't talk about each other's lives unless someone, you know, is sick or passed away. We know we give apologies and stuff like that, but that's it. And I learned all that by learning to gray rock, and then it took off from there, learning how to navigate a conversation with somebody with a personality disorder. There are some people, though, I just got to say this side note before I go on to gaslighting. Sometimes people do this tactic so much that this becomes their new norm, becomes their way of interacting with people. And if that's the case, you might want to find a therapist. Like, here's three examples that you might want to talk to somebody if this habit is becoming too easy for you. One, you begin having trouble connecting with people who are important to you because you've learned how to, like, totally disconnect and turn off the emotions. You end up doing it to people that you're not trying to gray rock. It just becomes a natural defense habit for you with the manipulative person that you end up doing it to other people. So if you're having trouble connecting with normal people that you normally would deal with on a regular basis, that's a red flag for this situation. If it becomes difficult to express yourself within the positive, healthy relationships in your life, then that's another red flag. And sometimes if you feel like you're losing your identity or your self-awareness, you definitely need to see someone. You know, it might seem helpful to temporarily change your appearance to make yourself seem less physically interesting by wearing plain clothes or taking less care of your appearance, for whatever example. You might do that to keep your ex not interested, instead of dressing all up and dolled up when you see them, or vice versa. I don't think guys call it doll up, but they're looking all fresh. I don't know how to say it. If you do that when you see them, that's you're going to create an issue. There's going to be some feelings if you're looking all hot when you have to interact with them. So some people flip it and do the opposite, look like total shit all the time, every time they see them, so they seem less interesting. But then you're doing this all the time. You're walking around town looking like shit, not giving a shit about your appearance. And this is where it becomes a problem, that you should really speak to somebody. All right. So switching over to gaslighting, let me take one more sip. Okay, gaslighting is to manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity. This could induce mental illness. Gaslighting is usually gaslighting is usually in different forms of abusive relationships. It's a form of emotional abuse. That's what it's seen as. It can happen to almost anyone. And it can be done slow but steady. so slow that you don't even know it happened to you, which is exactly what happened to me. And then when I learned what gaslighting is, I can't believe how much gaslighting takes place. It's insane. It's the same thing with learning narcissistic traits. Once you can spot and identify a narcissist in a couple seconds, or, you know, in a first interaction, you realize how many narcissistic people are out there. It's crazy. But gaslighting, it comes from an old movie, from what I researched. Basically, this guy manipulated his wife. The movie's called Gaslight. The devious husband manipulates and torments his wife to convince her that she's going mad, which is basically what gaslighting is. Okay, so gaslighting is saying, let me give you some examples. Gaslighting is when they tell blatant lies that you know is true. Like, you know, we didn't go to Disneyland together. You're nuts. When you know damn well you went to Disney with this person and you're not nuts. That's trying to make someone completely, like, question themselves. Like, wait, if, you know, sometimes if you say a lie, the sky is gray, people start to believe the sky is gray. That's gaslighting. When you manipulate someone's reality so much that they actually start to question themselves, that's gaslighting. All right, so I'm going to give you like 11 examples, 11 red flags of gaslighting, okay? The first one, like I said, they tell blatant lies. You know it's an outright lie, yet they are telling you this lie with a straight face. Why are they so blatant? Because they're setting up precedents. Once they tell you a huge lie, you're not sure if anything they say is true. Keeping you unsteady and off kilter is their goal, okay? The second thing, they deny they ever said something even though you have proof. Just like I used Disney as an example. You know they said they would do something. You know you heard it. But then they outright deny it. And it makes you start questioning your reality. First you think it's funny. You're like, are you kidding me? You're fucking nuts? This happened. Yes, it did. But if it happens to you over and over and over, you start thinking maybe they never said that thing. And the more they do this, the more you question your reality and start accepting theirs, okay? A lot of people, I see a lot of questions in support groups that I just have to give the answer that a narcissist has a different reality because they have a personality disorder. So you can't accept, like, there's so many questions. Why does my narc do this? Why does my narc do that? Say this, say that. How do you fix them? You can't fix them. Their reality is their reality. It's not our reality. So the more you question your own and start accepting theirs, that's where the emotional abuse kicks in. That's where you start to lose your sanity because now you're seeing things from a manipulative person's view. They use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. They know how important your kids are to you, and they know how important your identity is to you. So those may be one of the first things that they attack. If you have kids, they tell you that you shouldn't have those kids, or they tell you you're a terrible parent. They would tell you you'd be a worthy person if you didn't have a long list of negative traits. They attack your foundation of your being. Another thing is they wear you down over time. Like I said in the beginning, this could be slow cooked. This process, this gaslighting can be done over time. This is one of those insidious things about gaslighting. It's done gradually. It's done over time. A lie here, a lie there, a snide comment every so often. And then it starts ramping up. Even the brightest, most self-aware people can be sucked into gaslighting. Like I said, it can happen to anybody. It's that effective. It's the frog in the frying pan analogy. I don't know if anybody heard of that. The heat is turned up slowly, so the frog never realized what's happening to it. That's the analogy. Their actions don't match their words. When you're dealing with a person, or an entity, a company, that gaslights, look at what they're doing rather than what they're saying. What they're saying means nothing. It's just talk. It's what they're doing is the issue, right? I don't want to go into politics or COVID or vaccines or, but like, let's just say some of these politicians are like, no, my body, my right over a vaccine, which we've had vaccines for years and years and years. That's what they're saying on TV. Yet they're vaxxed up. Their kids are vaxxed up. Their spouses are vaxxed up. But then they go on TV and talk about how, it's civil liberties and it's my right and brr. Meanwhile, they're all vaxxed up. So that's like their actions don't match their words. They're out there politicking, is what I call it. They're out there saying whatever for whatever purpose that suits their needs, which, by the way, a lot of people in Congress are narcissists because most of them like you to think that they're out there for their community and their constituents, yet they act, every move they do, most of them are for their next political run. But anyway, let me take a sip. Okay. So another thing is they throw in positive reinforcements to confuse you. This person or entity that's cutting you down, telling you that you don't have value, is now praising you for something you did, right? They're always telling you that worthless or worthless, and then you fold their laundry and they tell you, like, it looks like the store did it. You such a great laundry folder. They put you up, they put you down. Okay, this adds an additional sense of uneasiness. You think, well, maybe they're not so bad, when they compliment you on something. Yes, they are. This is a calculated attempt to keep you off your game, to keep you off kilter, to question your reality. Also, look at what you were praised for, by the way. That's why I use laundry as an analogy, because it's probably something that served the gaslighter. It's probably something that you did for them that they're praising, right? Another thing, they know confusion weakens people. So gaslighters know that people like having a sense of stability and normalcy, like me, I am a by the clocker. I like to know things in advance. I like to stick to a schedule. I don't like things on the fly. So their goal is to uproot this and make you constantly question everything. And a human's natural tendency is to look to the person or the entity that will help you feel more stable. And that happens to be the gaslighter. This is feel the manipulation tying in there. They project. Ooh, banging my desk. This is something also I won't get into, but politicians do this all the time is they project. Abusers, they do this all the time. What they are saying or accusing you of is usually what they're doing. Okay, this is somebody that like cheats on you or they're a drug user. But they are constantly accusing you of that. Some people call this a guilty conscience. I, knowing gaslighting and manipulation inside and out, that's abuse. Trying to make someone feel like they are doing something that they're not doing is abuse. You're literally mentally breaking the people down. It's done so often that you start trying to defend yourself and you're distracted from the gaslighter's own behavior. So, like, they're telling you, oh, you're a cheater or you're a drug user. We'll use those two as an example. Meanwhile, this person is supposedly, been caught cheating or been caught doing drugs and is supposed to be sober, but all of a sudden they're accusing you of either cheating or doing drugs. Usually that's a telltale sign that they're cheating or they're using drugs. But if you feel the manipulation part of it, if you're constantly, if you're in a toxic relationship and they're constantly accusing you of cheating to the point where you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to go out and cheat because what's the difference? And I'm going to get treated the same. I'm going to get the same exact reaction, except I'm not going to put up with this shit and be innocent. I'm going to go cheat then. I've heard this a bazillion times. It's not about cheating. It's about manipulating your brain. It's about making you lose your mind. This is all part of the manipulation. Okay? Then they start to try to align people against you. Okay? Gaslighters are masters at manipulating and finding the people they know will stand by them no matter what and use these people against them. Usually their family, usually their friends, or they'll make comments such as, this person knows that you're not. That you're not right, or that you're crazy, or this person knows you're useless too. Keep in mind, it does not mean that these people actually said these things. I can say from personal experience, my ex used his family, and some friends a lot, and would say some things that apparently they said about me that I've come to find out. I either found out, or I just know after 14 years of with this person, this family member didn't say that about me, and I know it. It was just a lie. A gaslighter is a constant liar, okay? When the gaslighter uses this tactic, it makes you feel like you don't know who to trust or who to turn to, and that leads you right back to the gaslighter. And that's exactly what they want. It makes you just feel insecure and perplexed. So you kind of introvert yourself. You isolate yourself. And that's exactly what they want. Isolation gives them more control. Sorry, I'm like burping up this shake while I'm talking. Hold on, one more. Okay, so they'll tell you or those people that you're crazy. This is one of the most effective tools as a gaslighter because it's dismissive. They know that if they question your sanity, people won't believe you when you tell them that the gaslighter is the abusive one or the one out of control. It's a master technique. I went through this. Again, they usually tell their friends and family, you know, that you're crazy. Oh my God, hormones must be on her period. She's psycho. She's losing her mind. Or he. If I say she too much, it's because I've said it over and over. Generally, a victim of emotional abuse or toxic relationships or narcissism abuse is usually female. Not always. So pardon me if I say she too much, but I mean both sex all the time. So telling everybody that you're crazy, this like sets shit up for like the perfect trap. And like an example for me, you know, my ex would tell his family, I'm crazy, she's psycho, she's, you know, whatever. So when we do get into a fight, and we got into some major fights, and I need to run over because his family lived on the next block. I would need to take my kids to safety, run over, and tell them, once I had to run over and tell them he threatened my life. While I was holding my 6-month-old baby, he looked me in my eyes and threatened my life, told me he was going to lay my body out on those stairs. And they were kind of looking at me like, what? Okay, like, you would never threaten somebody's life. Like, okay, she's crazy. Like, I'll never forget that moment. I felt like I was the crazy one, but that really happened. But that's all the part of the gaslighting tactic. He has now told his family I'm crazy. So when we have a knockdown, drag out fight, I go run over to his family for refuge because they're the closest things around. And now I look crazy. So who looks good in this? The one that just threatened my life. The one that has set me up for that trap. So Also, same thing with telling everybody that, you know, telling everyone else is a liar. By telling you that everyone else is a liar, your family, the media lies, it again makes you question your reality. So you never know someone with the audacity, you're never known someone with the audacity to do this, so they must be telling the truth, right? Like, no, it's a manipulation technique. It makes people turn to the gaslighter for the correct information, which isn't the correct information at all. Another thing with gaslighting, it's my last example, and I'm just, again, going to use Congress or politics briefly, because this is a great example of gaslighting. Voter fraud. A certain someone, way before elections even started, was telling everyone that there's going to be fraud. It was, is gaslight, is telling you a blatant lie. So that, and told you this so many times, that there's going to be fraud, before the election even happened. Today, the governor recall in California is being voted on today. And last night, as early as yesterday, the opposing person who would take that person's place is already stating online that they have detected voter fraud. How the hell do you detect voter fraud before the election even starts? So that is pure example of gaslighting. Our old president had said this so many times. Now, every single election, everyone is going to question if it was fraudulent, if it was a credible election. And that, my friends, America has been emotionally abused and gaslit. That's why I said at the very beginning of this, I can't believe how much gaslighting happens through politicians and through our Congress. But that is the perfect example of gaslighting. Same thing with COVID is a hoax. People have died yelling at nurses, putting tubes down their throats, telling them that, you know, admit it, COVID is a hoax. It's a hoax. They can't have COVID because they were gaslit. We all know COVID is a real virus. We all know it's real. But someone who's vulnerable enough or not willing enough to do their own thinking, their own research, and their own fact-checking can easily be gaslit. So with that, there's some signs. Some people don't know. So I'm going to rattle off some signs to you. And if you feel like you match a lot of these, then you're probably being gaslit. Let me take a sip. Sorry, but it's like melting in here. I'm all worried about the fans and my air conditioner being annoying for sound, and here I am slurping straws. But anyway, so these are some signs that you're a victim of gaslighting. Here we go. So you no longer feel like the person you used to be. Being more anxious and less confident than you used to be. You find yourself often wondering if you're being too sensitive. Sometimes you're feeling like everything you do is wrong. You're always thinking it's your fault when things go wrong. You say, I'm sorry all the time. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not good. Having a sense that something's wrong, but being able to being unable to identify what it is. Ugh, I couldn't get that out. So you feel like something's like not right all the time and you just don't even know what the hell it is. It's because you're being gaslit. You're often questioning whether your response to your partner is appropriate. Like, are you crazy? Was that a crazy response? You start making excuses for your partner's behavior. That's a big one. Avoid giving information to friends or family members to avoid confrontation about your partner. You're feeling isolated from your friends and family. That's a big, big, big one. That's a big red flag. If you're feeling isolated and sometimes you feel it's intentional or you're being forced to not see your family and friends, you're more than being gaslit. You're being like held hostage, like complete abuse. You're finding it increasingly hard to make decisions. And you're feeling hopelessness and taking little or no pleasure in activities that you used to enjoy. Like everything just, it feels like you're just walking through life, like emotionless. Those are complete red flags that you definitely need some help. Okay. I hope that this episode gives you some enlightenment into gaslighting and to gray rocking, and I hope you understand how to use it. I'm going to be creating some, which I already have some courses that I've made through my website. One of them is The Great Escape. It's a program, like an online work study by yourself. Gives you basically a blueprint on how to get out of an abusive relationship. I also have a self-love program, a self-love workshop, because basically people that keep themselves in these relationships, in these abusive environments, toxic environments, the abuse or the environment has gone on so long that people forget that it's not normal and that they feel like they don't deserve a good life or whatever or not. And most of that is because they have been thrown off their game and have been abused and been put down so much that they start to believe it. They've been gaslit so much that they're, you know, a loser and they're never going to amount to anything and yada, 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 that they start to believe it. And when you start to believe it, you get depressed and you end up just not believing in yourself. And that's why I made the self-love workshop, is because the first thing you need to do if you want to get out of a toxic relationship, if you want to leave that abuser, that's why those are my first two programs. One, how to get out, and the other is how to love yourself, because you got to love yourself to understand that you got to get out. You got to know that you are worthy enough to live a happy and prosperous life. And that's where it starts. So my first two programs, my first two courses, one is to get you to actually come back to me, come back to earth, get out of the cobwebs of the abuser, the manipulator, and check back in with yourself and remind yourself that you are worthy. And then once you have enough confidence, once you're done with that workshop, if you feel strong enough, then get the Great Escape. Get the Great Escape checklist. It's free download. It's 10 steps that I did to get out, and it, you know, it's kind of like a blueprint. And then I have the full program. I think it's $37 right now on sale. I have to look. Don't hold me to it on this podcast. Whenever you listen to this, the price might be different than $37, but it comes with audios. It's me talking. It's me showing you what to do step by step explained. And there's also a bonus co-parenting section. And it all, which by the way, all my courses come in a password protective website. So if you're working on one of my courses, it's online, it's private, unless you give somebody the passcode. So nobody can like snoop through your shit and find out what you're doing. But anyway, my whole point to me rambling about the courses is I'm going to be making some more, and I would like your feedback on what you guys would like help on. If it's, you know, getting out of the toxic relationship, or if it's recovering from one. That's what I do. I'm a recovery coach. I really help and mentor a lot of people to get get their shit back, get their life back. And I only help people because I wish I had somebody to teach me these things. Otherwise, I wouldn't have wasted 14 years. Maybe I would have only wasted 10 or 4. So I started out in these support groups as a victim. And over time, after therapy and education and schooling, I have been mentoring and these people in the group. So it has flipped for me. So what I had posted in a lot of the groups was, if you could take a class or a course on narcissism or on anything emotionally, on toxic relationships, any toxic topic, let me know what that is. I'll read you a few of my examples of what people have requested. And I'm just going to take the top, most popular things and start from there and start making courses that you can do by yourself at your own pace, your own privacy. And then when things get cooking, maybe I'll do some group studies or something like that. But let me read you a few of these responses. Okay, I'm just going to read you from this one post. Holy moly. This is in a Facebook group, NPD Survivors, Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And my question said, if you could take a course on narcissism, what would you want to learn the most? This is just, I want to know what you guys need so I can help you. And some of these answers, nothing to learn, a narcissist will never change. Right, but there's plenty to learn. I want to know why I still care. Trauma bond. Gaslighting. Oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one experiencing this. What exactly is this all about? Is this mentally draining? And then they start to have a conversation about it all. So let me get out of the conversation. I want to learn what the mask is and what is not. There is no mask. That's what I mean by you have to learn what narcissism is. It's not a mask. It's a personality disorder. How to prevent investing in such individuals, how to avoid them, how to stop them, why they continue to hurt people when they claim they love them, why the cycle of abuse, realizing that the lack of self-esteem and the reason I stay, how to be high education. I don't know what that means. The importance of red flags, gaslighting and the hoovering, how to spot signs in the beginning, in the first year, to let go and not to care about what others think, all of this clinical stuff you learn as a psych major. That's what I feel. I feel like a psych major after all this time. How to avoid being one. You're not one. If you either have a personality disorder or you don't. I'm kind of answering these out loud. How to not get anywhere near a narcissist. Well, that's impossible. You gotta learn how to deal with them. One person put everything about projections. How to steer clear from the start. How to destroy their ego but keep the person intact. Why not just treat people decently? How to avoid them. A lot of people want to know about avoiding them. Love bombing. How to spot them and to avoid them, another one. I learned about most traits, how to convince them to relocate themselves to Wakanda. Projection, why? What's in their heads? Okay, so this is just one post. Let me see, how many? There's 141 comments on this one post in this one support group. And I posted this probably in like 9 groups. And I'm now verbalizing this on the podcast. If you could take a course on anything toxic or narcissism or abuse or anything, what would that be? I'm going to put a link that you could submit your questions or course recommendations or anything that you want to talk to me, you can communicate with me. I'll put a link most platforms let me put a link, and if not, you can go to my Instagram, Talkin' Toxic Podcast, and go to the link tree, and I'll put a link there. Well, there already is a link there. It says submit your Q&As, because I do Q&A Tuesdays. So submit through my link on whatever platform you're listening to, if it lets me put a link in the platform. If that platform doesn't, whether it's Spotify or iTunes or there's a million platforms that I'm on. If it doesn't allow me to link it, please go to my Instagram and submit through the Q&A. What kind of courses would you like to learn? What kind of courses? Some will be free, some will be paid. I'm also offering phone session packages. That way we can have a discovery call, figure out what you need to do, put a plan together. I'll give you some homework. We'll follow up. There's a 5-plan package, and then I'm working on a 10 plan, but I haven't put that up yet. So there's a lot of resources, but I definitely want to make more. I want to help you, but I need to know what you need help with. So again, click the link on this platform, wherever you're listening to this podcast, check out the bio, read what this episode's about, and if the link is there, great. Click it, put what you would like to learn about more, submit it. Thank you very much. If the platform you listen to this on is not allowing me to link it, go to the Instagram and click the link in my bio, and there is a submit your Q&A button. You can go there and submit your course request there. Also, submit any questions, too. If you have any questions about this podcast or anything that I've mentioned, please go there. This, I feed off of what you guys need. So my next Q&A Tuesday, I'll pull from my emails, my questions. If there's not enough or too many of the same things, I will pull questions out of all of these support groups that I am online with. Okay? So with all of that being said, I hope you have a great day and stay safe and healthy, everyone.